Present.
And just a quick reminder, you'll want to press the red button when you want to talk.
All the time?
Yeah.
Or the blue one to, if you want to let up?
Well, the red one, you can just leave on if you want.
You want us all just to leave them on?
Yeah.
All right, let's do that.
We can push all your, all turn the red on, okay.
We're all on right now. Do we have to be a certain distance to this, or will it pick up?
I think it'll, you know.
Okay. 12.2 inches.
Get my tape out. That's about it. Okay. We have established that we do have a quorum for today's meeting. Yay. Agenda item number 3 on the work session is discussion on historical preservation code. And at this time, I'll turn it over to Pat Clewer and our staff member, Deborah McMahon.
I think Pat can just jump in.
Okay.
You have your packet, and she'll give you an idea of some of the issues that you may want to discuss tonight.
Yeah, if you want to just push the red button down.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's really happy to be here and get this project to this point, because I know you guys have really been waiting for it. You have two documents, and the first one is the City of Lapine Comprehensive Plan, Chapter 5, Historic Areas and Historic and Cultural Resources. And I want to jump to the very end of it first. And on the last two pages, there should be...
Which document?
We're on the comprehensive plan.
Okay.
Looks like that. Do you have that, Greg?
Mm-hmm. I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
So the last two pages, one has a photo of the, taken in 2009 of the Little Deschutes Grange. And then the next picture on the next page is a picture of your cemetery, the Improved Order of Redmond Cemetery, also known as the Pine Cemetery. And on the page that has the Grange Hall, you'll see right above it, there's a little table, and it just has 1-2. And these are actually the properties that were designated on March 18th, 1991 by the Board of County Commissioners as the significant historic resources. So they, before Pine became a city, and before you adopt and your city council adopts your comprehensive plan in your hand, those have been protected by the county. And so you, according to the state statutes, you inherit those properties. And so you start with 2. And I know that you're anxious to add a lot more there, which I would hope you do. So this part, you know, table 1 there, and figure 3 and figure 4, those are the little descriptions that I put in of those buildings and the photos of them. So if somebody asks you, you know, what's protected, the list is always going to be in your comprehensive plan. And adding to it is a comprehensive plan amendment. A lot of comprehensive plans across the nation actually pride themselves by describing their community's history in their comprehensive plan. And often it's, you know, kind of like an introduction or something, so that somebody looking at it, it's the first thing they see. In this case, you know, it's going to be right, you know, when someone looks in your Chapter 5 of Historic Areas, they wrote a sketch of Lapine's prehistory, because you were, this area was a really important part of the Native American history of Oregon. And then on page 2, I switched to Lapine's history. And history, you know, starts kind of in the early 1800s with the explorers and goes on. And I have to tell you, I had a whole lot of fun doing this for you. And it's very interesting. On figure 1, it's we're going to have, you know, this will be on your website. So the hope is that anybody can click on this plaque and blow it up on their computer and print it out any size they want and see what the original cut out pine looks like. And they can see the street names and who signed it and the dates all there. And then that description is about the people that were really involved in the early history. So, you know, the whole development of the area was held back by the lack of transportation for so long. So I put the one, you know, there's so many photos we could put in here, but I chose to put the one of laying the railroad tracks to kind of make that point. And there, I think Deborah was the one that really helped me think this through. And I thought there's so many people who come to La Pine who haven't grown up here, and they might be interested on a nice cold night looking at further into the history. And so I put a list of 9 books that they might like to check out the library and read about the area. And they're also some of the ones that I used. The really important part, I think, for the Planning Commission is the section that says La Pine's historic preservation goal. And I'm going to note right there that we need an apostrophe after the E on that, at the very top of that. Mm-hmm. And then it has A, B, C, D, and E. And I don't know, you might have some ideas, you know, if I got those right. You know, I'm pretty happy, you know, with what we've got here. So that's kind of what that document is. Any questions about that right now?
Pat, if I could ask one question. This was a very fun project, and one of the things I was impressed by was your diligence in looking for resources and reaching out to your network of historic experts. When we find new information or a new book becomes available, would we have to go through the legislative process to make that addition, or could we add something that minor additions for the purpose of providing more background information? Could be a simpler process?
My understanding is if the city council finds clerical errors, just simple little errors of fact, or something like that, they don't need to go through the whole process to make those changes at any time. However, when you add something new and board does have to approve it, I would recommend that maybe we, on the city website, we have, you know, we pull this out and kind of have it maybe even a little expanded history, because now I even know more stuff as of this month, and that's not in the other books, and we can keep the bibliography going. Because since I did this in December, I've actually purchased 2 new books. Mm-hmm. One of them, I didn't even realize there was a whole book written about the Stearns family. And, you know, I since purchased that at the Bowman Museum. And then I just completed another book, Homesteading on the High Desert, which isn't about La Pine, it's about Christmas Valley and Fort Rock area, mm-hmm. but it talks a lot about the people who live there coming into La Pine to get mm-hmm. supplies and things, so mm-hmm. that's kind of interesting. So if I, you know, I could see exactly your point, that there's going to be more and more mm-hmm. Things, and so I think, you know, it's one of those things we could, you know, every once in a while when we do have other amendments, we can plop
it in
there, but I think we can keep a bibliography going right on the city website as well.
That's a good idea, because I think as soon as the press gets a hold of this, the city council thinks about this, people are going to come out of the woodwork and say, hey, I've got mm-hmm. something you might want to include, and mm-hmm. and I hope that's the case. I think people will take an interest based mm-hmm. on what we've heard so far.
Well, I'd like to see when the Lammers Commission, or if it's the Planning Commission, whoever serves as it, gets started, which hopefully will be this spring, mm-hmm. that we start a little La Pine book room, you know, mm-hmm. That people can come in and go through the boxes of the inventory that Sherry and I did, and they can look at the books. I already donated one rare book when I did that. I think it's in one of the boxes. And, you know, we can just start getting them and having them here.
And add to our existing library.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That'd be great.
Yeah, as maybe a specific historic library, apart, you know, to our other training manuals and different things.
Yeah.
Maybe, because, you know, some of the historic books and such may be a little more rare value than some other Planning Commission training manuals and everything. So I'd like to see it kind of separated.
priorities.
Will they be kept here? Most likely.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of Crown, and that's where people are going to come to find this stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, in fact, the book I put in here about Vandiverts is the second book that, where is it on here? The second, nope. So number six, and it says Vandivert, the 100-year history. That's actually Grace's second book, and I read her first one, and it's more stories, reminiscence about her family. Hmm. This one they've attempted to, it was just published last year, and I went to her talk, and they've attempted to really do it more as a history, and they have an incredible bibliography in the back of that one, and there's a lot of books I haven't read yet, and so I read it.
It'd be a good thing to be mindful of when we prepare a budget each year is to carve out some of those dollars to make sure we constantly add to this resource.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that'd be good.
That's a good idea. Remember?
It is.
All right, we'll jump on to this document that looks like this. Michael, here is when the Planning Commission thinks it's okay, we'll go ahead and turn the track changes off. And so that gray area on the right is because the track changes are turned on. So when we turn, when we say accept all the changes, it'll get back to looking normal. And this document I am really, really proud of. I am. It's, like I told you before I started really working on it, I was able to wear about three hats. One, your planning staff, whether it's contract or in-house someday, are they going to be able to understand the code no matter what their background is? Mm-hmm. And can they explain it to the property owner so that it's clear what they're supposed to do here? And then as a property owner, does this give them direction? And then I was, as a property owner, I was thinking, gosh, does this sound kind of onerous or kind of heavy-handed, or does this sound really fair and just right? And then I was looking, of course, at state regulations and other things like that. And as Deborah said on the other document, there's a lot of people that looked at both of these documents. We've had both at Department of Land Conservation and Development, the Historic Preservation Office. I've had other, more peer review by the preservation planners who've been the people writing the staff reports on these things. And then we've had several historians look at as well, seeing if it would preserve structure. And gosh, I think at one point we had over 25 people actually read this last November. Mm. And we made changes to it, but not too many. It was kind of, it was good pretty much from the beginning. We had a few additions to it, but not too many changes. So I think it's really good. So I think for the Planning Commission, it's really important that you let me know if you think something's a little, especially too heavy-handed. There's some things in there that I really kept the real buildings down here and the real streets in my mind. Does this really make sense for the Pine? So I really tried to do that for you.
Pat, when you talk about the Landmarks Commission, it at one point it says in it's the third page of the 20A under 200 applicability. It goes, it's the third page or is number 7. It says under the direction of City Council, Landmarks Commission or Planning Commission, and then commissioners, consultants, and such. Did you, is that meant for, either or, and is that meant for that, say if there isn't a Landmarks Commission, would the Planning Commission then be the historical committee that's, that advises to the council, or
you're absolutely right.
Are you saying that that we should have a separate Landmarks Commission? So have a Landmarks Commission and a Planning Commission, right? Ultimately, I mean,
That's the way I read it.
Yeah. Right. And Deborah brought up the idea that if for any reason through lack of volunteers or through change in something, that there is no landmarks commission or they can't get a quorum or something.
Right.
We don't want to hold up the work that you folks seem to have the energy to do.
Right.
So she thought it would be kind of neat to give the city council the discretion to appoint planning commission to do the work.
Yeah, see, because my concern is that what we're faced with right now is we have 5 members of the planning commission. We only have 4 seated right now. So we're short on the council, we're short on the planning commission, and then now, you know, I mean, you know, my desire is to have a full historical or landmarks commission in La Pine. I mean, you know that about me personally. But my only concern is that we're having a tough time getting volunteers for these other commissions, and so I was just wondering, in the meantime, in the next future, trying to get the volunteers, what will we do with
Well, I can help you a little bit with that.
The code.
The state requires, if you have a landmarks commission, that you have a minimum of 3. I can't imagine a committee working well with only 3.
Right.
There's all kinds of problems with that. So I think 5 is a better number. The fact that they can decide when they're in a proactive mode of researching history, talking to property owners, that kind of thing. They can meet as many times as they want.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, once we get past that stage in the future, they might only meet quarterly.
Yeah.
And that might be attractive to some folks, you know, who have a busy schedule or busy families to only meet that time. So, you know, I thought this would add some flexibility to the city so that you could keep your business going regardless of what's going on with the commission.
Because the only history we have right now, a couple of years ago, as a planning commission, we sat and we talked about an historical committee under the planning commission, and at the time there was only a couple of us that raised our hands and volunteered for that. Both are in this room right now. Gloria Fleming, who was vice chair of the planning commission, myself. And so that, just to give you a little bit of our brief history, that's all we have accomplished to this point. Yeah.
Well, the other side of this that I felt comfortable writing that way was that when I was on the Planning Commission of Washington County over by Portland, that Planning Commission served as the Landmarks Commission. So I've been in that situation, and I can tell you that the first time a case comes before you, you don't have the training, it's not good. So what the planning staff did was they brought up staff from the State Historic Preservation Office for free, and they had Saturday morning 3-hour sessions, 1 session a week for 3 weeks, and kind of gave us the basic stuff. And with that information, we didn't have very many cases that came up, and we did have an inventory going at the time, kind of like the one that I did in 2009. And so that those contractors were coming in and checking in with us. But it actually, I thought, worked really well, and it actually can help you integrate historic preservation into your planning a little better if the Planning Commission has a lot of knowledge of what's going on. So I don't see it as a big problem. It would just be a matter of getting you the information you would need to do what you have to do in historic preservation.
And Pat, I think it's an important feature that one of the commenters made, is that the Landmarks Commission must have training. And there's a training session coming up. And if the Planning Commission wants to fill that role,
yeah, then April 26th.
Must do that training.
Yeah,
the 19th?
In Bend.
April
19th. In Bend at the they're on whatever street where the commission meets. Yeah, I signed up for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
And
yeah.
We'll try to get notices out to everyone too.
I think that one's being put in by the Historic Preservation League of Oregon.
Right.
They call it like Historic Preservation 101.
Yeah, you contact Nick Lelak there.
I've actually
county.
Taken that program in Redmond when they offered it, and I thought it was superb. Very, very good.
But isn't that what Ms. Krill sees as a minimum for the Historic Landmarks Commission, that they have that base level of training?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And, you know, I've already told you I'll be glad to volunteer to come down and give you another training.
That'd be great.
You know, and we'll just see, you know, when it goes through the city council, if they approve this and adopt it, then we can go ahead immediately and attract applicants, see who we get. If it's not going to happen, that we get enough people to fill 5 seats, then we can fall back on you good folks.
In the meantime, could we give Doug and Norman the date and the time and all that?
Certainly. And the
contact information so that, you know, I'm excited about getting this thing going right away. And so we, you know, just right here in this room, there's three planning commissioners that could possibly go to that and get the minimum requirement for this landmarks commission.
John, what's the date in?
April, what was it, 19th?
Yeah, I think it's the
19th. 5:30 p.m. to 8 or something like that. It's only a couple tours here.
We'll be in town.
Was it April
19th? I'll be in Puerto Rico.
Well, of course.
Well, that's where I'm going.
Did you buy my ticket?
You can come along. Yeah.
Good.
We can have you call in.
Good. Cancel my training.
You're not as cute as the one I'm taking, but...
Please cancel my training and Ben. I'm going to Puerto Rico.
I wonder if somebody can video that.
Yeah, that's what you think is.
Yeah, you know, really. And just do it right here with Pat and Deborah and all that. And yeah, it'd be great. You know, by that time...
But if you can, I really encourage you to go to this training because you need to meet the people. You need to see those faces.
Well, we need to get a little bit of time, too, to possibly get some other folks... excited to possibly be on the landmarks commission, you know, being on the Pine. So and I know they're out there. It's just
if we're able to do the temporary planning commissioner seat, then I hate to speak out of turn. Am I not speaking at all?
I'm just getting it there.
I'll forward the same email to Gloria too.
What were you saying?
Oh, I'm just going to forward it to as many people as I think that might be interested.
Yeah, this is. I've read this and it's awesome. I really think that you've done an outstanding job up and above your call of duty.
I thought it was very comprehensive and, you know, complete. Answered a lot of questions.
I was trying to think of everything that could come up, so there's no quantities.
I think you covered it very well.
Find the page that has Alfred Aya's picture, and then I want you to go to the page before it. I wish we could have just put, maybe for a city council, we can put some temporary page numbers or something on here.
Sure.
Anyway, there's the one comment that's left, and I was surprised by this comment. It came from the State Historic Preservation Office, and how I had it, and even after the comment, I still agree with myself, that the following criteria there, and it has, you know, A through L, so there's a lot of them, could be the basis of a particular homeowner or business owner nominating their building to the La Pines list of historic sites. And I just thought, well, you just need to have one of those things to qualify. And so I was kind of surprised when the state said one of these two all to qualify. So I'm wondering if they maybe agree with one, but they want me to come right out and say that.
Well, don't we have that in L? It says a property just needs to meet one of the criteria to go home.
Maybe they never got that far.
That's what I'm wondering, because besides this question, you reminded me that the question Karen Swirsky brought up, I think, is a good basic question that as a good topic to bring up about how do we look at things that we think are historic and what is the process? And it might be good to just compare and contrast.
Yeah. So what this list is we all know that there's a number of buildings here that were moved from Rosland. And that's a really interesting part of La Pines history in itself. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, it doesn't, you know, that might be a criterion. So I put that in. And, mm-hmm. and then I put the ones that the National Register uses in there as well, and then I, you know, put the one that there might be something about the cemetery or grave there. And anyway, so I was trying to think of all the potential resources that I had seen, and I put those in there, and I didn't want to have a situation where people go before the city council and say, well, I'd like to add my property to your list, but I only meet one of these criteria. And I thought, well, wait a minute, that's good enough. So mm-hmm. is that good? If so, we'll just take the comment
good.
Off.
Would it be less confusing, Pat, if you just put that L and just made, separated that from the alphabetical list and just put maybe 2 or something instead of L, and maybe L would be less confused.
Put it as a heading topic.
Absolutely. Let's do that. That might solve the confusion. I think we've fixed that problem. Okay, so L goes to 2. Awesome. Well, I think that was the only loose end we had.
Yeah, it looks great. I mean, I really like it. And I especially like it being the first historical code. Mm-hmm. That it is a little, it's very comprehensive, but it's simple enough as a first code to have something to build on. You know, I mean, you got to have something to build on. So I think it's very complete.
Awesome. All right. So what we're going to do tonight, as far as I understand, is that we're actually going to hopefully have a motion, you know, to pass this on to the city council.
Yeah, I would entertain a motion at this time.
Well, wait, we're in work session, I think, aren't we?
Yeah.
So
once we take public testimony.
Oh, did we have that in our regular
public
hearing?
Yeah, so we have to. Yeah, so when we get to the public hearing.
I have that right here.
Just a few minutes.
And I think for
the work session, get a little antsy.
Deborah will help us with this, but my understanding is we want to have 2 ordinances. We're going to have 1 for the comp plan and 1 for the code, or do you want to have 1 with both of them?
No, I think we better do 2.
Okay. So that's what we'll do.
I just learned this was a work session just yesterday, so see, I'm trying to catch up.
Yeah, so right now it's kind of informal. And
keep looking at the clock. Oh, it's only 5.
Ask any questions to Deborah or whatever.
You bet.
So,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's some good work on that. And at this time, right on schedule, we will adjourn. I would entertain a motion to adjourn the work session. Actually, I don't need a motion. The work session is adjourned. And I'll immediately call to order the regular session. 5:30 p.m., February 15th, 2012. Call to order. John Thomas, Planning Commissioner, present.
Norman McClung, present.
Douglas Ward.
We have established a quorum. Yay. And I will ask Rick Allen to please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Item number 4 is added agenda items. We will add any added agenda items now. It will go to agenda item number 10, where we will bring them forward at that time. Do I have any added agenda items to add to this agenda at this time?
No.
Hearing no. We will begin the public hearing on Historical Preservation Code in the new section of Comprehensive Plan regarding historical and cultural resources. We'll open the hearing. 5:31. And I will read. Should I read this now, staff?
Yes.
I will read. Get ready for this because it's long and it's windy, so bear with me. To be read before each Planning Commission hearing. This is a statement for legislative matters. In each legislative agenda items on the attached agenda, the following procedure shall govern the hearings. Number 1, the Planning Commission will declare ex parte communications, including site visits, as well as actual and potential conflicts of interest. Those in attendance will have an opportunity to challenge the disclosures. Number two, a planning staff representative will outline the application, that's Deborah McMahon, and the approval criteria. This information is also outlined in the staff report, which is available to the public. Number three, the Planning Commission will hear testimony, receive evidence, and consider the testimony, evidence, and information already submitted into the record. Testimony and evidence at these hearings must be directed toward the criteria set forth in the notice of the hearing and listed in the respective staff report. In addition, testimony may be directed to any other criteria in the Comprehensive Land Use Plan of the city or land use regulations which any person believes applies. The applicant has the burden of proving that his or her application meets all of the applicable criteria. Failure on the part of any person to raise an issue with sufficient specificity, whoa, that's a tough one, every time, to afford the Planning Commission and parties to this proceeding an opportunity to respond to the issues precludes appeal to the Land Use Boards of Appeal on that issue. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the local government or its designee to respond to the issues precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Each hearing will be conducted in the following order. The staff will summarize the issues raised by the application and review the applicable criteria. The applicant will then have an opportunity to make a presentation and offer testimony and evidence. Other persons supporting the application will then be given an opportunity to present testimony. Next, opponents will then be given a chance to make a presentation. After both proponents and opponents have made a presentation, the applicant will be allowed to make a rebuttal presentation. The Planning Commission may offer an opportunity for opponents to respond to the applicant's rebuttal. At the conclusion of this hearing, the staff will be afforded an opportunity to make any closing comments. The Planning Commission may limit the time period for presentations, and we probably won't limit it too much. There's not a lot of people here. So, at this point, the staff will make the comments.
Okay, for the record, Deborah McMahon. If you remember in our comprehensive plan that we submitted to the state, we had a blank for the historic resource data, and we simply had put in parentheses, put Pat Cleaver's information here. But we didn't have that data, we just had an inventory. So it was very lucky for Lapine that we were able to take advantage of a county grant where Pat was able to produce the Chapter 5, Goal 5, Historic and Cultural Resources information that you reviewed earlier in your work session, as well as the Historical and Cultural Preservation Program and Landmarks Commission data that will go in our ordinance. So those two features help complete the comprehensive plan and our implementing ordinances. And because you've received a good overview from Pat in two previous meetings, I'd like to have her come up and brief you for purposes of the public hearing as part of taking testimony. If you're okay.
You may do so.
Okay. Pat, did you just, for the purposes of the public hearing, yeah. Just want to give a brief overview?
So good evening again. It's Pat Cleaver from Cleaver Engineering and Associates. And you have before you two documents, the City of Lapine Comprehensive Plan, Chapter 5, Historic Areas, Historic and Cultural Resources. And so the testimony that you're going to take would address whether this is accurate or complete. And it has, of course, the two properties in it that you inherit from the Board of County Commissioners designation in 1991. The other document is the Chapter 20A Historical and Cultural Preservation Program in the Lapine Landmarks Commission. And it, of course, sets up the Landmarks Commission or sets up the possibility of having the Planning Commission serve as the Landmarks Commission. And then it sets out the goals of the preservation code, what they're supposed to accomplish. And then it tells how you protect historic buildings how you designate new historic buildings or sites that would go in a comprehensive plan, how someone could have a historic district in La Pine if they so chose to do that. And then it talks about incentives and penalties for using the code as well. It also has a section on cemetery protection, and it's pretty complete. There is a small chapter on protecting signs and plaques that are historic and designating them as well. So I don't think we have any signs and plaques in the Pine right now that I know of that need protection, but if that was something that came forward, you'd be all set to go here with how to protect it. So tonight, what you're going to be doing is making sure that this is also complete and accurate, and it matches with what your values are and what your priorities and goals are. So you'll be taking testimony to that effect and making a decision, and Deborah and I are here to help you if we need to change something, to help you do some wording, because we'd like to pass this actually on to City Council after your meeting today. And we can pass on an edited version as well, as how it is right now.
Okay, and just for the record, Pat, this code will be in addition to the city codes and will pertain to just lands and properties within the city limits of La Pine and not outside the city limits, which are still under county jurisdiction.
Correct. It actually has a section that says what would happen if you annexed an area. Like say you, if there's another property out there that's designated by the Board of County Commissioners, what would happen with that? And yeah, it's pretty complete. Mm-hmm. It kind of looks at that growth that way. But yeah, you're right. Right now, it just applies within the city limits.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Pat.
Thank you.
At this time in the hearing, we will open it for public comments. Come on, public. Don't let me down. You got to have some comments. Let me ask you this then. Is there anyone in this room, Kitty, who would like to volunteer, Kitty, for the new Landmarks Historical Committee when we start one? Kitty. I think you're a perfect candidate for this.
Thank you. Liking to and having the time are two different things. I appreciate it.
Yes, but we must set our priorities, and this is should be a big priority to you. If you don't volunteer tonight, then we'll discuss it after the meeting. So that no one else likes historical workings within the city. Let's see how to show a raise of hands. How many are city residents that they know of? Okay, well, see, there's the proof right there, Kitty, that, these other folks, by rule of order, they just can't volunteer, and so you're picked. You're the only one.
And Kitty has been helpful in the past in identifying and keeping the thread of history when I've had questions, so immensely valuable.
Well, I hate to instill any pressure at all, but it's not just me. It's everybody in the whole town, so.
And we can put out an advertisement, John, to talk about the need, the fact that training will be coming up in April, and make sure that gets on the city website as well.
That'd be good, because then we have a couple months to advertise that and everything.
Yeah.
So let's work on that, getting out that advertisement. At the same time, we're advertising for the Planning Commission member. If anybody knows anybody that's city resident right now, we have an opening for a planning commissioner. So I'll just throw that out. So.
John, may I add one just last
thing? Certainly can.
For the public's benefit, we write codes and ordinances and amendments as a normal part of the planning process. So this is not written in stone. But there's an opportunity for the public to be involved if they want to add something or have a discussion about another feature of the code or the ordinance. And so it's a living document, just like the comp plan and the zoning ordinance, and it doesn't preclude people from becoming interested or involved at a later date.
That's good. Yeah, that's going to be important. And you mentioned having it on the website, yes, so that people can interact with that and such.
You know, since you, can you have the same folks serve as the historical committee or something? You know, I think what happens all the time, everyone wants to keep forming new groups. Mm-hmm. And then they meet rarely. Mm-hmm. They don't have a lot on their agenda. Mm-hmm. And so I think I'm kind of a, you know, you come down here, let's have some real stuff to work on. And you mm-hmm. can. So instead of forming another five-person group, can the Planning Commission yeah. act as that?
We actually had discussion on that with Pat, and she mentioned an example of this other city that the historical committee was made up of the planning commissioners.
And what you do, you could just...
And it works. It works great. If need be.
A lot of cities will have an urban renewal district. It's this council. What they'll do is they have to gavel in the urban renewal meeting.
Yep.
Then they gavel out, just kind of like you did with your work session.
Right. And that's...
Maybe think about that.
That's... She'll probably identify that right now.
Yeah. Pat Cleaver again. Manager Allen, we do have that provision in this code under how I wrote it was under who the membership of the commission that the city council has the option of appointing a five-member Glamorous Commission from volunteers or appointing a planning commission.
So if you guys make that recommendation, we'd probably do that.
So we'll just, I would recommend we just leave the wording as it is so that we have the option, we can go back and forth in the future. Mm. One other thing I thought we better do, Patty printed this out for me from an email that I sent to her, and I'll pass this around. We've had an interesting challenge trying to identify that one photo that's in here that says caption information necessary.
Looks like this was a couple years ago, huh?
Yeah. And we have unfortunately sent that photo to everyone who we know that could possibly identify it. We sent it to the Deschutes County Museum, to the Bowman Museum, to the state, everybody. And nobody can identify that photo, and yet it came out of the museum's collection that's labeled the Pine.
Mm. Even with that corner sign on it?
Not that one, but the one that's actually in this document. I'll try to find it. And so we thought definitely by tonight we would have identified it, so I left the photo in. Well, when I realized we weren't going to be able to identify it before the document goes before the city council, I thought we better have a backup photo. So I went over to the Bowman Museum last Thursday and met with Steve Lynn. And lo and behold, the Bogue family had just donated 130 historic photos to the museum.
Wow.
In the last 2 weeks. And he had scanned all of them. And so we actually looked at all of them because they're all of Rosalind and LaPine. And we selected that one because it's so incredibly sharp. And the building is almost brand new at that time.
That was from the Bogue family?
And the gentleman that's in the doorway is William Bogue. And it's from the Bogue family. So my recommendation would be, it's actually this one, figure 5. It's kind of in the middle of the document. Gosh, I wish we had page numbers.
It's a big enough building. It could be a side of that store.
This is the one that nobody can figure out what it is.
The Bogue store.
And it has very distinctive windows. And, you know, Steve and I sat there and we went through hundreds of his photos that he has of LaPine. We could not find it. So one recommendation I might have is that, you know, in addition to the little changes on the wording that we made earlier during the work session, that perhaps the Planning Commission, you know, moved to replace figure 5 with the other photo from the Bogue family. The other reason that Steve and I selected that one out of the whole collection, besides it's nice and sharp, and it's real different to have something so close up in a historic photo, is because we do know who's in the photo, and we can write a nice caption of it. And he he emailed the caption information to us, and we'll get that ready for the city council.
Yeah, that's significant that you have a person standing in the doorway there.
Yeah.
But that, yeah, I don't recognize that as being, that little push out on the second story thing is what got me. I hadn't seen that in any other photographs.
Yeah, it's usual. So do you like that photo? Would that be something?
Well, absolutely. Like it's a close-up and everything. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful.
Well, anyway. I would make that recommendation then for your
consideration. Yeah, it's a neat photo. And, you know, just coming from the Bogues, and it was supposedly all the fine photos and everything. More likely is.
We'll leave it as a challenge to see if anybody can identify the existing photo. There's some good clues.
That'd be kind of a neat little thing to do for, you know, a recruitment poster there, and put that in the paper and say, can anybody identify this? And if they can, they're automatically on the Landmarks Commission.
Put it on their website.
Yeah.
Maybe we could fork over like a steak dinner or something.
There you go. Make fun of it. That'd be great.
Yeah.
We've done that before, haven't we? When we named the neighborhoods. We're all about a good time in this commission. Okay, so we're getting ready to have a planning commissioner's deliberation. But before we do that, I have to close the public hearing. So before I do that, I'd like to have any other comments. What's anybody think about a historical landmarks commission for the new little city of La Pine? Is that good news, bad news, or otherwise? Sir?
I do have a question.
Sir?
The three of us.
Just state your name. Well, we're doing a hearing, so we have to come
up. I'm
sorry. You push the little blue button there, and you start.
Sure.
Okay,
my name is Gary Schauger. My wife, Cheryl, was sitting next to me, and she is the master of the Granger and the Pine. Was our understanding that it was possible that the Grange was considered as a possible historic building and that. And we had some questions. Due to the fact that the state Grange would have an interest in whether or not it would or would not be deemed as historic. Two, if it were, we're not aware of what restrictions on the building, on the exterior, interior, or that type of thing, which could be detrimental or beneficial to us. And I would say, well, what are you thinking about? At the time, our roof is old, and we might want to have it redone, either with shingles again or with, say, metal. So we would not know whether or not we could, in fact, be restricted or not. The interior-wise, the building, if you've been inside, hasn't changed much from years past. And we would like to maybe put a new floor down on top of the existing a little bit to make it better. And we're not aware of what might be restricted or whatever. And like I say, the state Grange would also have an interest as to what could or couldn't be done with the building and that sort of thing. So we would appreciate having some information should it be considered, so that we could contact the state Grange and get their input additionally, so we could come and represent them in a meaningful manner.
Sure. Excellent question. And it is only one of two properties in La Pine that is listed as on the historic registrar. It was the old Pioneer Hall. I think even before that it was called the Commercial Club. Yeah. Pioneer Hall or the La Pine Commercial Club, now the Grange Hall?
Yes, 939.
It and the cemetery are only actually two properties right now on the registrar.
Okay.
So absolutely, there will be restrictions. I'm going to have Pat clarify a little bit on this. But the benefits are going to far outweigh any type of restrictions on that building. Pat, could you please identify this?
Yes. Is this one plugged in too?
Yeah, you just press the red button, or blue.
Okay. These are great questions, and this is, I'm glad to meet you, first of all. And we wanted to invite you specially to come, and that's why, because you need to know what regulations might be placed on the property. And I own a historic building, and I want to know, you know, when I bought it, I wanted to know what I could and couldn't do. Let's cover a few of them real quickly here, and I'm going to hand you this. I have a little note in there, I can remember it. You can take this home with you. What it says in this code, this is a great example of why we wrote it the way we did. First of all, there's nothing in there that goes inside your building. It actually says in here that the city of Lapine will not regulate the interior of your building.
Okay.
Nothing. So that's number one. And it's a personal choice how someone, you know, decorates the interior of their buildings, and the public shouldn't be involved in that. So that is number one. Number two is any maintenance, including roofing. Right on page one, it says what's applicable. It says if you re-roof this building, we're very happy about that. We want you to keep it going. It's a very important building in Lapine. So you know that's you can get help in selecting that, but often budgets are involved in that as well. So so those are the two things you brought up right off the bat, interiors and roofing. There are regulations in there that affect the exterior of the building. And basically, in a nutshell, what it says is that if you have to work on a building, let's take a look at what was there historically and see if whatever needs to be done, if we can do it to match the historic appearance. But one of the reasons you have a Landmarks Commission or a Planning Commission acting as a Landmarks Commission is to put people into the code. And that's why you always have the opportunity to come before them and discuss, you know, budgets and situations. There's always discretion involved. These, I'm going to, like I said, encourage you to actually read it and look up kind of. And I encouraged, when I came last time, I encouraged the Planning Commission and the City Council to actually think of a building such as yours and kind of imagine things that might go on there and read the code that I've written. And, you know, does this make sense? And like I said in the beginning, I don't know if you're here, I did not in any way intend that this be heavy-handed at all. It should be more of a partnership between the city and the good owners of these properties. The other thing you brought up on the switch here, so I don't want to confuse you, is we're going to talk about the comprehensive plan right now. The comprehensive plan is the one that has the picture of your building in it. And as the chairman said, there's two properties that are on there, the cemetery and your building. Those were designated already in 1991.
Okay.
That was done then. So before us tonight is not the designation of it. It already was designated, you know, 20 years ago, 21 years ago. And according to state law, not that it's the most important thing, but state law just says that when there's a new city or through an annexation or something, if a building's already designated, it just is brought into the new jurisdiction. And I can tell you this code is a lot nicer than the county code you were on before. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about is I'd like to teach this Planning Commission and the City Council about the benefits that are out there of historic designations.
Okay.
And there's some of them involve some financial incentives as well. And I don't know if there's other green halls around the state that have either a local designation or national register, but it might be something that the state Grange would be interested in knowing what some of the benefits of listing are. But I just want to make sure that you understand that the City Council is not going to be designating your property. It's already was designated.
Okay.
They're just kind of assuming a previous designation.
Pat, you bring up an excellent timing issue. The effective date of this ordinance will be the same as the other city codes that are waiting, hopefully to be effective in July. Yeah. So mm-hmm. when you make decisions about roofing, you'll want to take into effect, if you could wait a little bit, it might be easier to work through the city's historic code versus the Deschutes County code, which you are under today until July, whenever the city makes their codes okay. effective.
Mm-hmm.
One of the goals that I had, and I believe the city council has in your code that's before you right there that we're talking about tonight, is to encourage people to do the right thing and to have a little discouragement of doing the wrong thing. And so it guides you to do the right thing and really makes things really easy on everyday stuff. So like I have in there that you don't ever have to apply to the city for routine maintenance. You can re-roof without applying and things like that.
Okay.
So there's definitely some things that are very specific in there, such as windows. I think you've only got one or two historic windows left toward the back.
I couldn't answer that.
Yeah, I think I've looked at that building, but most of the ones in the front are not historic anymore. So, you know, like there might be something in there about windows. But interestingly, the code never requires somebody to do anything.
Okay.
So it doesn't say, well, now, you know, we have this code, you've got to do all this stuff. No way. It just says, if you do things on the exterior of your building, it'd be a good idea to read the code and make sure you're doing it.
Okay.
It's like...
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had a question of me.
Yeah.
Does that help?
Yeah.
I was
very concerned.
We benefit the community. Mm-hmm. We have a small membership. And so if we were required to say that... you say we have two original windows, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Say, well, being a historical building, we have to change, you know, this sort of thing. That this might become a hardship or something mm-hmm. to a degree, and so we want to know where we stand,
yeah.
if possible. You
exactly.
know,
well, I know the city has told me as a contractor they do not want this to be a hardship.
Okay.
And you know, yeah. the good well. Folks that'll be deciding that, I'm sure will listen. The one thing I want to say is I just attended a wedding reception in your building, and during the dancing, one of the grandmothers got up and got the microphone, and she said, "We just thought we better tell everybody here that we also attended the baby shower for the groom in this room."
Oh.
And so, you know, it's kind of, you know, that's cool. the kind of thing that building yeah. means to people.
Okay. Well, that's all I have, but I just wanted to...
I'm glad you came and take that.
Yeah.
And,
you know, we would like to work with you.
Very glad
you know,
came.
And that it's not that we're necessarily against it, but we want to have a little bit of an idea of where we stood
yeah.
and that type of thing.
Well,
it's,
we went over and over and over this again to try to make Lapine City's historical code as a real common sense, you know, workable code that won't provide any hardship for people. That, you know, that building is only one of two properties listed in Lapine already, or was already listed with the county, as Pat said, 1991. So it's, yeah, it's nothing that we're adding, but is that building one of the most important historical assets for the city of Lapine? Yes.
I would say possibly.
You know, and you know, some of the things we've discussed trying to work forward in the future is like having like grants or matching funds and this type of things. They're not in there now, but wouldn't that be neat to have grants and matching funds to take that commercial club building and restore it to its original condition?
Yeah.
You know, things like that. See, these are dreams and goals that we're looking for.
Well,
that
sounds fine to me, but like I say, we just wanted to get an idea where we stood a little bit regarding some of this. I haven't had a past experience where I was able to know what other cities have done or required, and we're kind of new at this. And
all of a sudden, you pass this law, and now you can't feel comfortable in your own building. You can't go in there.
Okay.
And
okay.
you're afraid to nail a nail into the wall or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Dot, did you have anything you wanted to say? not as a long-standing member of the company.
We didn't know it was designated historic.
Okay, thank
Nobody
you.
Ever told us.
Yes.
It is, and it's a, it's one of the most important buildings in Lapine. And if you see any other buildings around that have 1910 on them or something, let us know, because we're, that's what we're interested in doing, just starting this Landmarks Commission. Lapine is so new that we don't have this these historical buildings, you know, identified and everything. That's one thing we're trying to do. Right across the street from there is a building that was drug up here on logs, the Tucker, little Tucker house, right across the street from the Grange Hall. That was drug up here in 1910 from Roslyn, the original little building right there. And it's not on our register yet. Are we looking at it? Yeah, I talked to Tom Tucker the other day, and he said the same thing that the gentleman right there said. Uh-oh. What am I going to have to do now that it's going to go on the net, you know, they're going to go on the Lapine City Historical Register? And I said, believe me. I said, Tom, would you like to have some help? Like, he said, well, I want to redo the front deck. And I said, well, do you want to make it look like it, preserve the historic look of the building? He says, absolutely. I says, you know, would you like to have some help with that rather than having the burden all yourself? Yeah, that'd be cool. I said, well, hang in there. Wait till after July till you do the deck. Maybe there'll be something there for you. So, all righty then.
And the Grange Hall was across the meadow.
Oh, did they drag it over too? When did they do that?
I have no clue.
Huh.
But when Murray Morehouse was still alive, he used to point across the meadow, and he finally took one gal over there and showed her where it had been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's probably bits and pieces of buildings.
Yeah, we're still learning to tell you all that stuff.
Yeah.
None of these buildings were here 150 years ago, so it's all pretty new on the scheme of things. You go back to Baker City, and there's 1860 and 1870 something on the buildings. We don't have a single one of those around here. So we're relatively new in Oregon. Newest city in Oregon. Still. And way ahead of Damascus, I might add. My competitive spirit just tells me I should add that Damascus is the second newest city in Oregon, and Lapine's way ahead of them.
Really?
You know, on establishing committees and councils and everything, and so we're just right on time. So, any other public comments? Thank you very much, sir. Any other public comments? Nope. So we will close this public hearing, and the Planning Commission will deliberate on the new code.
Thank you.
We'll start the deliberation. Any of you gentlemen like
pretty loose, huh?
Comment?
Well, I think it's very comprehensive, and as I said, it's not too, as she pointed out, it's not too heavy-handed from what I've seen in the Landmark Commission stuff. Covered almost everything, you know, as you think of things. I think it was pretty much everything was covered in there. So I would recommend it highly.
Good. And you know, and it's something that it's a great start, and it's good news for the city of Lapine to preserve our history here. I think history plays a part in the future, in that it might dictate different architectural viewpoints in the future and everything for the town. Lapine has been kind of spread out, and this is one thing that's kind of bringing Lapine and kind of making it a cohesive community, and this is one thing that's going to help. It's good to get this started.
And it is a living document, you said, right? It
can
be changed any time. Mm-hmm. I imagine there will be changes as we get bigger.
Sure. Yep. As you grow, that's to be expected.
Doug, do you have any?
Number one, I agree with Norm 100%, but I would also offer two recommendations
mm-hmm.
that we consider. sometime between now and July. Number one is, I think we could recommend to the City Council that the Planning Commission becomes the Historical Commission until such time as there is sufficient resident volunteers to take over for us. Because right now, as you know, it's tough to get volunteers to do anything.
You mean the Landmark Commission?
Yes. And of course, that decision would be up to them whether they wanted to or when they would stop it. And then number two, I'd also recommend that we designate an area here in town to be called the Lapine Historical
District.
Mm-hmm. And I would recommend that Morrison, somewhere between 1st and 3rd or 1st and 4th, and possibly the next street to the west of Morrison. I'm not sure what the name of that street is. It would be something that the council could okay. We could put up a couple of signs that wouldn't change any laws or anything. They would just be signs that say Lapine Historical District.
Mm-hmm.
Come July, we have all kinds of free labor. We have 5 people coming on board to the city who mm-hmm. basically don't have all that much to do. They have equipment, they have a shop, they have all the tools.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't cost us a thing to do it, which is the best part of it. Other than that, that's it.
All right. Would we need a... Pat, could that... The part about the historical district, could that be done later? Would it be easier to do that now? Because we would have to have boundaries and so forth.
You're all set up. The code actually anticipates that. And one thing I did in there, again, respecting personal property rights and individual differences, we have in there that the historic district does not have to include every building in a boundary that you can actually leapfrog over some houses.
Mm-hmm.
And I put that in there for a couple of reasons. One, there might be some properties that would be good for infill or replacement of structures, say it's something that's insignificant. And then the other case would be, what if a person really is worried about it, and I don't want them losing sleep about it. You know, they may learn over time, oh, this is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But, you know, let's not stress people out, you know, if they're not ready for it. So it allows the property owners who are ready for it to opt in to the district. And
so it's in this document already, basically. It would just be in the future of designating where and making, putting the signs up. I mean, but everything else is in here.
It actually has procedures for creating a historic district in there right now.
Good.
And like I said, there's some cities that require, like say you draw a boundary, a 2-block square, mm-hmm. 4 blocks long and 2 blocks square, kind of rectangle built district, that they require the regulations and that code to apply to every property in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a little getting used to when you do it that way. Whereas this one that I gave you, the option is you can create the historic district and have real boundaries, but you don't have to apply the code to every property.
That's neat. That's a neat feature, and I'm glad it's in here. It's a good idea. I'm glad it's here because I'd like to see that also.
Because you really could, as soon as the City Council adopts the code, you really could start on that work.
Set boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So all of your procedures for adding individual properties to that comprehensive plan, mm-hmm. adding historic districts, are already all in there.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Did a good job of covering that.
That's good. Yes. Yeah. What was the other first question you had or comment?
He had the recommendation to City Council that they use
now that commission. That we probably need to do a motion. So would you like to put that forward to a motion?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
You want me to make the motion?
Yes, please.
I make a motion that we recommend to the City Council that they approve the Planning Commission to also be designated as the Historical
Landmark
Commission until such time as they deem it unnecessary.
Which is one component of the motion. The other component is that you want to recommend approval of this document with that change, plus the photo modification that Pat had discussed, as well as your
recent... That doesn't have to be a separate motion?
No, you can lump it all together.
Oh, okay.
So lump them all together.
And your recommendation that the City Council and Planning Commission work on a combined goal of setting the boundaries of the first district as a task that will occur later.
Okay, so let's put this all together so Patty will be able to read it back to us.
Right. Approval of the documents presented, which are the ordinances approving the addition to the comprehensive plan and the addition to the implementing ordinances as amended, and amended with the exchange of the photo, the recommendation that the Planning Commission serve as the Landmarks Commission, and that one of the first tasks be the study and determination of the city's first historic district.
Okay. Doug, would you agree with that motion?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, just one more time, could I have that just read back in a final...
No, I don't type fast enough to have everything.
Okay, you don't? Okay.
I could wing it.
Well, let's get it all typed and then have her read it back.
Okay.
So go ahead. And
so your recommendation to the City Council is approval of the two documents, one amending the comprehensive plan.
That's slow enough for you, Patty?
I'm keeping up.
Okay, good.
Second one, adding to the implementing ordinances.
Okay.
And amended as follows. One, the photo exchange that will occur for figure five.
Figure five.
Which is identification of the Vogue photo.
All right.
The second amendment is the recommendation that the Planning Commission be the body for the Landmarks Commission until such time there's adequate interest to have two commissions. And the third amendment, or third portion of the motion, is to recommend that as soon as the Lapine Landmarks Commission is active, that they study and determine a boundary for the city's first historic district. Does that work?
Mm-hmm. That does. Sounds like it's got it all.
Sounds like a plan.
Awesome.
Okay, that's going to the council, folks.
Would you like to vote on it?
Oh, I'm sorry.
You made the motion.
Yes. Doug made the motion.
I made the motion. I'll second it.
There's only three of us here, folks. Motion is made and seconded. Anything on the question?
No.
Hearing no. Motion passed.
Gold star for Pat Cleaver. Bravo.
Oh, thanks.
Bravo.
Thank you.
I feel privileged to have done it. It was fun.
No, we appreciate it. We appreciate it. It's a great start, and it is... couldn't be any sooner in my mind. It's an excellent document. So, the Planning Commission deliberation is done, and we will move to agenda item number 6. Approval of Planning Commission meeting minutes for November 30th. We've got to go all the way back, and that we missed last month.
2 months, actually.
And a month before that.
Holidays
and activity. I have none on November's. Does anybody have anything changes for November's?
I have no changes or comments.
I don't either.
Okay, hearing none, I'd entertain a motion to accept the minute meetings for November 30, 2011.
I would so approve.
We'll move on. And anything on the question? Or actually, it needs to be seconded?
I'll second.
Norm McClure seconds it. If nothing on the question, they are done and approved. Moving on to agenda item number 7, interview applicant for Planning Commission. And we have two applications. One is from Patricia King. Another one is from Kathy Agin. Are those two individuals here tonight? Both are here. Excellent. You gals wouldn't mind just come forward and just each of you take a seat right here at the hot seat and go ahead and press the red buttons and lock those in. No pressure, just need to have public record of people's comments. And when you say something nasty to me and throw something, it'll be on public record. No, that hasn't happened yet. It'd be exciting though. So let's start the interview. Fellow commissioners, go ahead and Doug, Norman, somebody start the interview.
Okay. Who is who now?
I'm Kathy.
Kathy? Okay. All right. Patty, you said you've been here for 3 years?
But I'm a native Oregonian.
You're but pardon?
A native Oregonian.
Oh, okay. All right. What brought you to the Pine?
I got tired of Redmond. It was a little too big.
Okay.
I wanted to get back to small town.
All righty. Okay, and Kathy, how long have you been here?
I've been here 4.5 years.
4.5 years? Yeah. And it looks like you're still, are you still working? You're retired now.
I'm retired.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And what brought you here also?
I was born and raised a Colorado Mountain girl, and I worked for the Bureau of Land Management, and they transferred me out to Tillamook in 92 up in Salem, and then I finally retired and moved back into the mountain area.
Okay. And you both live in the city limits, right?
No, I do not.
You do not? Okay, you're on Dedon Loop, right?
Dedon Road.
Yeah, okay. And
which is right
there. You're on Riley, right over here. Okay,
building.
That's all I've got.
Now, Kathy, you are a city resident, correct?
Yes, sir.
And Patty, you're not. Okay. Kathy, do you understand what we're trying to do here? What the Planning Commission eventually will do for the city?
Partly, my understanding or my vision is it's what the future will be in building growth, different things that will go on in the city. I mean, it's a baby right now, so there's a lot of work, there's a lot of things to be done, a lot of things to be researched.
And you have no problem with the time involved? We meet once a month. And there are other things that we do and we'll be doing later on. You have no time with problem with contributing your time?
No, not really. Occasionally, if I have a chance, my priority will always be my family.
Oh, absolutely. It always should be that way. And Patty, same question for you?
No, I don't have any problem with that at all.
Okay. Well, that's all for me. Thank you, John.
Yeah, I just like to add, it's a couple, 2 to 4 hours at the max it has been historically, so it's pretty low time. It's not a lot of time. We started in 2009, we met twice a month, and then with the economic downturn and such, it all of a sudden there wasn't that much to do as a planning commission, so we went back to once a month. So it's very manageable now time-wise. And as far as I had, the applications here, and we'll go over them again. And the main thing that I want to stress right here is that how much we appreciate both of you for just coming here tonight and volunteering your services. That's huge. There was times when months and months and months went by with an unanswered call for a volunteer for the commission. And so to have two here in front of us right here is some sort of historical document right there in and of itself. You know, so we really do appreciate this. So thank you very much for both of you. And I don't have anything else, but I would like to know if you, either one of you, would like to speak again.
I think, you know, each community has to have a vision because we have to look forward, but at the same time, it's wonderful that we're retaining our historical roots. My grandmother came over through Ellis Island. She has a plaque on Ellis Island, and she homesteaded in Newburgh, Oregon. I mean, so to me, the roots are so very, very important. But also, our smaller communities are having to get extremely creative in trying to find funds, trying to attract business, trying to attract even residents. With this economy the way it is right now, what I'm seeing is a loss of residents. And that is kind of weighing heavy on us as far as property tax revenue mm-hmm. and all those things. So I just think that the Planning Commission, the City Council, all of those have to get very, very creative in the way that they're going to approach the future.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing to me. Should you like to be called Patty or Patricia?
Patty.
Is that all these cities throughout the United States, they're all losing residents. Where are these people going? You know, are they boxing them up
together.
And sending them to China or what? I don't know. You know, where are they going?
They're going back to live with mom and dad.
That's exactly it. They are.
You know, because the whole country is losing. And usually they move from Lapine and they move to Bend or something. But Bend is also. So it's not that they're moving anywhere. They're just disappearing.
Mr. Chairman, I need to ask a question of Mr. Allen.
Certainly, please.
Mr. Allen.
Yes, sir.
Are we going to remain a 5-person body, or are we going to be a 7-person body? Five?
Yes.
That's definite?
Yeah.
Thank you.
You can't fill five. We don't want to be 7.
Huh? No, 5 is good. I just want to make sure.
5 is excellent.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much again, both of you ladies. And so you're free to go if you'd like.
Thank you.
Thank you. Alrighty then, we'll move on to agenda item number 8, elections for 2012. We are a quorum, so we will hold an election.
Can I ask a question?
Certainly.
When are we going to do something with these two applications?
Oh, that will be, we will make a recommendation.
Can we do it now?
Well, to proceed, you can do it now, or
there is that conflict I mentioned to you earlier.
You can make a recommendation to the council. What the procedure is the Planning Commission makes a recommendation to the council, and then the next time the council meets, they have on their agenda to also possibly bring in applicants and interview. And everything before, and so they make the final decision. All right, we're a recommendation commission, and right now, as it stands with our ordinances, I might add that we have an opening right now for the fifth member that has to be a city resident. There's two that are non-residents; those positions are already filled. And three that are city resident positions. We have an opening right now for a city resident position in the Planning Commission. So what I would like to do, though, because Patricia lives in Dedan, is ask her if we could keep this application on file and hold that at a time in the future when your services may be sorely needed. So please, can we do that? Thank you very much, Patricia. Then the position that we're filling is a city resident. We have one application for Kathy Agin. Reading her application, I would entertain a motion at this time to make a recommendation to the council that they consider her as appointment to the Planning Commission.
I would so move.
To appoint who?
Kathy Agin. Sitting right back there.
But she's also applied for the city council
position. You can't be on both. So
well, I don't know which one. That's why I was going to talk to Patty. Patty told me about the planning and
yeah, I didn't realize you'd applied for the other one. Yeah.
Oh well.
So I think
we could hold that. We could hold that off.
Because I want the mayor and them are going to interview in next week.
Okay.
On Wednesday night we're going to have a work session. So I think let you come through there, see if that works out. If not, then...
So what we could do, we could amend this motion to say that if she personally decides to become a member on the Planning Commission, that we have already gone through the interview process and that we would recommend if she makes that decision. Does that sound... That's a good amendment.
Sounds okay to me, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then... And that way, it's up to you then, Kathy, after the council. All right? So the motion has been made and seconded with the amendments. So would you agree as your second?
Yes.
Okay. Motion made and seconded. So the motion is moved. Now we go to election 2012. Which I just might add is 1 month late in that we didn't meet on January. Just for the record, every January we have elections in the Planning Commission. We just had to delay that till this date because we didn't meet because of the snow and something else. There's all kinds of excuses last week.
Everybody was gone.
Gone, snow,
holidays,
whatever. So now we'll have the elections for 2012. Anyone like to make a nomination?
Well, from what I understand, we have to change every
two years. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to make a nomination now for Doug Ward to take over as chair.
Oh my! You don't know.
There's only three of us, and I'm too new.
I would second that. So, hearing no question on that. We'll have a vote. All those in favor of having Doug Ward assume the position of chair on this Planning Commission, signify by the sign of aye.
Aye.
Aye. It is unanimous.
I'd like to make a statement for a record.
Well, maybe, maybe not.
Yeah. Hey, you only got an hour to go.
Wait a minute, I was going to get out of here early.
Yeah.
This is
I just want to say, John, that you and Deborah and the other members who aren't here anymore, for the last 2 years have really done an outstanding job. You've put a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of work. I've got a whole binder full of stuff here. All this that you've done.
I can give you more.
I don't want any more. I can't even digest that. I just want to say that what you guys have done is really super.
Thank you.
And I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Of course, this will give John more time to work on the goodies that you expressed interest in, too.
That's right.
I got a little.
Okay. The Office of Vice Chair, any nominations?
I got a question on that. We can nominate you as vice chair because you could help the chair, you know, in the transition, everything. So I would recommend John for vice chair. Can we do that?
We can nominate anybody we want as long as they're sitting here at the table.
There you go.
Yeah, and there was no...
As long as they're sitting.
No, it's a different position. So
yeah. As long as they're sitting right here.
And it said during a transition period it would help, I think.
I would agree with that. I would second that, yes.
So a nomination has been made for John Thomas as Vice Chair of the Planning Commission. All those in favor signify by the sign of aye.
Aye.
Aye, I suppose. So, Vice Chair, and the Office of Secretary is currently occupied by Patty Morgan. And we have to vote on that.
It's a lifetime position.
It's really a staff.
Who else would it be? Yeah. So Patty Morgan, reassuming a role as Secretary for the Planning Commission. So we have Chair, Mr. Doug Ward. We have Vice Chair, John Thomas. We have Secretary, Patty Morgan. Excellent. Well, this will close our elections for 2012. Thank you very much. For all those that participated, and for all those who endured the nonsense. You guys, this is the largest crowd. We've been really playing this thing up here. This is the largest crowd we've had in like 2 years or something.
Yeah, we still have one live one out there if we can talk around.
I know.
They want something over there.
Well, she's going to be roped
for the
in.
Right spot.
She's going to be roped in there somewhere. So now agenda item number 9, Planning Commissioner reports. I'll start this off by saying last week I spent 5 whole days in between Disneyland and California Adventure. My oldest daughter drug us down there with my grandkids and I am exhausted. I've determined that 5 days in Disneyland and California Adventure is 2 days too many. The 3 would have been great at my age in my life. So that's where I was the last couple of weeks. Any reports from the other commissioners?
No.
Any committee meetings? Doug, have you been to the water and sewer or anything to report there?
I did go to the water and sewer. They didn't do anything.
Oh, okay.
The last meeting I went to, they just passed out their, what was it, that audit or whatever it was.
The audit, yeah.
You know, they had 3.
I think that with Mr. Allen on the job now as his sole responsibility starting next month is coordinating the sewer and water transfer, things will get done in a very expeditious manner.
Yeah.
That's worth at least a T-bone steak right there.
That's true. A couple comments on that particular issue. We have a joint meeting next Wednesday night with the sewer and water prior to our work session with the council. So they'll all be here. One of the things they wanted to do, you know, the meeting I think you were at, is they thought the communication lines should be better and open. So we've had one joint meeting. We'll be having our second. And so that'll keep moving along, you know, and it will be a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. There's no way around that.
All right.
And secondly, as I said earlier, but I thought just for the record, our new city manager will start on Tuesday, and he is a former planning director for ILO, and then he was in Spokane, Washington at the time. He was at McCall, Idaho. So, you know, McCall, Boise area, those are kind of Central Oregon-y type.
Mm-hmm.
I think he brings a lot of experience. He has a master's in planning and a MBA also in business. He likes downtown development, I think you guys will enjoy having him. I think it'll be a good team you'll build with Deborah and him. He may take you down some paths that we haven't gone because this is what he did for a living for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a little bit different. In Idaho, there are no city managers. You report to the mayor. So his boss was the mayor.
Mm.
So it's a whole different system, you know, there are 2 cities in Idaho.
Huh.
I got a complaint. I went over on over in your course neighborhood. It's either Huntington Meadows or your neighborhood or Kangol or, you know, the bulk of all complaints. In fact, I don't know if I've had one anywhere else. They're all in those 2 areas. This particular one, and I think one thing about having Steve get here, we'll want to start assuming the codes. I told Deborah tonight prior to the meeting we want to get that going to where we start enforcing sign ordinances, codes, and things. But the ones that hassle people are really this neighbor-to-neighbor battle that goes on. Mm-hmm. And in the case out there, you've got a cabin, what is referred to, according to the person on the property, as an historical Lapine cabin. Now, that's not historical under those rules. It's just historical.
Old.
It's old. Mm-hmm. And then it has an outhouse on the property that they say is functioning fine. And then they have a camp trailer next to the historical cabin. And then there's a camp trailer that's nosed into that historical camp trailer cabin. And then there's another one that's nosed into that. And then there's a fourth. Mm-hmm. Of various sizes and vintage.
Mm. They're all connected?
Well, no, they touch each other. They're not connected.
How can you get from one room to the next if you don't connect?
They have tongues that touch, kind of. And if you want to move the second one out, you move the other two.
Gotcha. Mm.
They're not hooked to sewer and water, of course, because there is an outhouse on the property that works. And the latest person has been there for about 4 weeks. He's got closer to the road, and that's what stirred up the neighbors, because he got out of the trees. As you move these things in this driveway, they get closer to the road and they become more obvious. So anyway, I had a nice discussion with him. The gentleman owns a property, spends his winters in Argentina on a beach, and this particular caretaker was over on another property and had to leave it. So he's moved in there, but he says he will be gone in a month. But then we've still got two or three others. So I'm kind of like, that's one that we'll want to get into. You really can't have three or four camp trailers lined in a row on this place. So I think that would be one for Steve and you guys to kind of start following. But, you know, I think if we just start taking these on, you know, based on complaint-driven, and you kind of put your nose into it, if you think it's one that should be done. This one needs cleaned up.
Where is this?
I don't remember.
Are we able to enforce them now?
No.
Not yet.
Until July, right?
Not until July.
What do we have to do to be able to? I think John always is. I mean, he's been on this thing, get that darn thing done, and I think mm-hmm. we're all there in the council. So where do you think we are on that? Or can we do it July 1?
Well, that's our goal. We have to finish all the issues that LCDC asked us to address through the remand. That's in progress, and I'm making extra efforts to focus on that and get that done as soon as possible. What that means is we'll have a hearing on that, recommend to the council, probably do it a joint meeting to save some time, go over what those remand issues are and our response. That gets sent off to DLCD. They review it at one of their meetings and make a decision. And that's how we got to the place we are now, which is a partial acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. Once the city has the full acknowledgement, then we modify or recognize the current IGA with the county and then assume responsibilities. Our target date is July, mm-hmm. and we'll work the calendar back from there.
Now, one question I had is, since there's partial acknowledgement, I mean, we could go in and we could, you know, so there's four, were partial acknowledgement minus how many goals?
I think it was four. I really don't count two because goal two means that you've done all of the others.
Okay.
So
well, about so you go in and say they approve two more, but then there's still a problem with one.
Right.
Does that kind of, I guess the question is, can we not start enforcing the things that are in fact approved? Now, the fact that LCDC could spend 2 years
adopting
the last one, mm-hmm. does that prevent or prohibit the city from enforcing all of the approved goals and thing, or is it you don't have anything to enforce till it's all done?
Well, you have to have your comp plan acknowledged, and then your implementing ordinance is complete, which we mostly have.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have one, then the ordinances, and then you have to reflect upon the IGA. If the county is willing to give up some of its authority to us in the meantime, if we continue to get a partial mm-hmm. acknowledgement, which is in the range of possibilities.
They're giving up county county would give us anything. They don't care.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But,
it would change the IGA.
But are they giving up county rules, ordinances, or are they giving up their right? I guess the question is, do the city ordinances then take over? I mean,
only once you have your acknowledgement complete or the IGA is changed to allow you to enforce either county or city ordinances.
Well, okay, you keep, don't worry, they will change the IGA. We know that has to be done. So let's just assume for the sake of what I'm saying, it has to be changed. So let's not mention that again. It's gonna get changed. Mm-hmm. When it's changed, do we enforce our new city code or do we enforce the county code?
Our city code.
And we can enforce the city code prior to a complete adoption of LCDC.
It depends, this is the fuzzy part, on how much we can get acknowledged through LCDC.
Okay, so the question is, if the county was to amend this thing tomorrow, we really couldn't do it.
Again, it's going to depend. If there's one small element that LCDC wants more information on, then the city would either need to do that or do the alternative that you talked about with the IGA. It's
well, in the meantime, why couldn't we enforce county code? I mean, as a city of La Pine, why can't we enforce county code?
I think it's too close, John. I mean, if you're just a few months, I think that you go out to tell someone today, the city guy goes out and says, you have to do this, and then the same guy comes out 2 weeks later, a month later, and says, oh, well, by the way, now it's a different code. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think if we switch, we should go to the county.
I'd be happy with July. It's just that sometimes these Julys turn into next July. It's up to July 2000. Is it July 2011, 13? I mean,
but our goal's been July because that's been our discussion with the county, and for budgeting purposes, we've mm-hmm. indicated to them that's what we want.
And that's fine. I just want to make sure if we get there, and then, you know, Steve will be busy, but we'll start coming up with our permitting process and forms. Mm-hmm.
We're going to be setting up a meeting with DLCD reps too, and we can ask them that question on the varying degrees of control if we're very, very close and we only have one or few things to fix.
Well, tell them, when you meet with DLDC, tell them that, you know, we're ahead of Damascus right now, and by gosh, we plan on staying that way, and so their help in this matter will benefit La Pine.
They've been very helpful. They're waiting for us to respond, and that's my responsibility.
Yeah.
Does the city need a formal complaint to act on a code violation?
Well,
does somebody have to come down and...
Well, that's how we do it, because you pretty much have to have, you know, rumor mill. I mean, we don't know. What's nice is to get the complaint, because then you know who complained. We can call, and I don't go tell the people who it is, but I then have a phone number and address, and then they give you the address of the actual thing, and you get a little history. I think if it's much looser than that, it's kind of hard to... Code enforcement is complaint-driven. That's the nature of the beast.
Well, with that example that you cited, would you actually need a neighbor to complain with what you saw, what you described?
Yeah.
You would still need that?
Probably not. I think that most cities, Deborah would probably know. I don't see them freelancing, running around. In other words, I guess if it's out on the main highway, there's
it's
some super
time
something.
And money and
but they aren't running around subdivisions.
Yeah. Well, if your policy is complaint driven, then that's what you need to adhere to. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And usually we'll get the complaints. Sometimes people don't want to put their name down because they don't want the neighbors to know.
That's right.
Well, and we talked about during the comp plan process, that would be education, harsh enforcement would be the last step, but that we wanted to bring people along.
Mm-hmm.
And being complaint-driven certainly helps with the budget, because I don't know if you can really afford somebody just to go out and inspect everything.
Right. But, you know, that in the future you got a code enforcement officer, he's going out to this complaint,
mm-hmm.
and then he passes a property that's worse than the complaint that he's going out to. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's legitimate. I think you're going to have to use common sense on that.
Right.
And prioritize.
I did go, the RV dealer that's over in your neighborhood, I went to pull his sign on Huntington. There's a sign down on Huntington now that says open for business.
You put it back up.
Well, I know. I was dressed too nice that day. I didn't have a shovel. but anyone that's in the neighborhood, that sign can't be there. That In other words, when you get into these grandfathered ones, you know, you have to, this is not grandfathered. I'm taking a pretty strong stance with this guy. He's opened up a retail RV dealership in the middle of the subdivision. This is not a close call. This is a violation of everybody's ordinance. It's old, new, and in between, and he just did it 6 months ago. So now when I go over in Huntington and I see a sign that's on public property, the right-of-way, telling you to go down a road to an illegal business, that sign has no legal right to be there. It's not a permitted sign. It's not a garage sale. It's not a temporary sign. It doesn't fall under anything. So it needs to be yanked. But I just didn't have a shovel with me. That's what I was handling that.
Well, he told you 3 months ago that he'd be out of there in a month. And that's been 3 months ago.
Well, he's there.
I know him very well.
Yeah.
He's a great RV mechanic, but he's got a
we'll work. But Wes, when we get our codes, that's one we will dive right into.
All right, we will move on to, where's my agenda? That concludes the commission reports, and so we have no other matters in for agenda item number 10. So I'd make a motion for adjournment.
I would so move.
Alrighty, we are adjourned, folks. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Turn your red buttons off. Okay, Patty, can we get all the new planning commission members signed up?
I get this in the mail already.
Or you already do?
No, I'm already got it.
Okay, did you get, everybody's getting theirs?
No, I get it already.
We need to make sure Justin and Norman are signed up as commissioners so they can start getting a membership in the APA.
Yeah. Is that yours?